Thank you, Pastor Rob. Good morning, church. So great to see you all. Last day of winter, but we got a fresh feeling, didn't we? Woke up this morning and I was like, oh, just a little bit more of a touch of winter before we all start to sweat and we start to question why we ever moved here, right? Well, I get the pleasure or pressure of following Pastor Layla last weekend. I fear I may have been stitched up, but the other day I actually saw some of the reasons why God possibly made Eve that aren't in the Bible that I wanted to share because I thought they were quite funny. So reasons why God possibly made Eve that aren't in the Bible. Number one, God was worried that Adam would frequently become lost in the garden because he would not ask for directions. God knew that one day Adam would need someone to help him locate and hand him the remote. God knew Adam would never go out and buy himself a new fig leaf when it wore out. So therefore, God brought Eve. God knew Adam would never remember which night to put the rubbish bins out. And he knew that Adam would have too much time and someone needed to be there when he was too silent to say, "What are you thinking about?" all the time. A mother went to wake her son for church one Sunday morning. When she knocked on his door, he said, "I'm not going." And she said, "Why not?" And she asked him, "Why not?" And he said, "I'll give you two reasons why I'm not going. Number one, they don't like me. Number two, I don't like them." And his mother said, "I will give you two reasons why you will go to church. Number one, you're 47 years old. And number two, you're the pastor." Last one. One day a teacher was talking to her first grade class about whales when a little girl had a question. She said, "Do whales swallow people?" And the teacher said, "No. Even though they're much bigger, they have throat pleats that filter their food of krill and plankton." And the little girl said, "But my other teacher said that Jonah was swallowed by a whale." And the teacher started to get a little bit angry and said, "No, blue whales cannot swallow people." And the little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if he was really swallowed by a whale." And the teacher, really angry, said, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" And the little girl looked her dead in the eye and said, "Well, then you can ask him." Oh, I thought that was funny. All right, let's open up our Bibles this morning to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I'm reading from the NLT version this morning. Why don't we pray before we read the word? God, we thank you for your word. Father, speak to us this morning. We want to encounter you, your presence, your word, your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 32 on the screens for those of you that don't have a Bible with you. Let's read together. "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt." The Lord has cleared of guilt. "Whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. Stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory." And the Lord says this, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. I just love that. Psalm 32. Some takeaways from this psalm are that disobedience is referred to as sin. When we don't see we are sinning and rebelling, we can become weary, we lose strength, we're troubled. When we don't confess our sins, we don't rely on God, we struggle. Freedom in this psalm is referred to as a physical and spiritual feeling. Joy is referred to, it follows obedience. Even the godly need to repent of a rebellious nature, this psalm shows us. And ultimately, God will guide us on the best path for our life. We can trust him as he watches over us. And this morning, Psalm 2 is an invitation for us. It reminds us of an invitation for us as his sons and daughters to willingly or unwillingly obey his word, his direction, what he's saying to us, to yield or rebel, to surrender or turn away. And this morning, the title of my sermon is Do Not Be Like a Horse or a Mule. Do not be like a horse or a mule. And I feel like what Pastor Rob said earlier, that there's been a shift in the body. We encountered great presence of God when Pastor Layla spoke. But I don't know about you, but I've been feeling a shift in the last probably 12 months, 6 months, a greater invitation for us to surrender to the Lord and to lay everything down. And we're seeing, you know, across social media and in churches and other pastors that have vocalized and communicated, there's a deeper invitation for the body. And I want to focus in on verse 9 this morning, which is, do not be like a senseless horse or mule. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. And some things I found when I researched a bit and a bridle, because I'm not a country gal, I've been on a horse once when I was very little, and I was pretty terrified because they are quite massive, majestic, terrifying animals. And what I found for a bit and bridle is that they're actually used for horses when they need to communicate to and control a horse. Communicate to and control a horse. The bit goes in the mouth of the horse, and then that's attached to the bridle and the reins. That's the system. And this system actually helps guide the horse's head first, and then the body follows. It's in recognition that where a horse's head is going, the body follows. I also found that a horse will naturally work against pressure or discomfort. And so the rider can encourage the horse to move in the right direction with the bit and the bridle. I think sometimes we too can naturally move away from pressure in a direction that we don't know where we're being taken. We can be a bit like a horse. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that a bit and a bridle is used to control the horse's head first. The Bible specifically tells us not to be a horse and a mule. That requires a bit and bridle. And so it poses a question later on, which we'll look at, is what are we likened to then? If we're not meant to be a horse or a mule, what are we meant to be like? We'll look at that a little bit later. But for willing obedience, our head and our heart need to be aligned. And sometimes they can be disaligned. Sometimes our heart can know God is speaking and this is what he's saying and this is what I'm meant to do. But then our head can be completely disaligned and can be filled with fear or filled with doubt or filled with, questioning, is that really where God's taking me? Is that really what God's saying? Can be an out of alignment, right? Just going to put my glasses on real quick because your girl is struggling. That's better. When I saw this about a head and a body and the direction of steering the horse, it made me think of us as the body of Christ and then Jesus as our head. We as the body, Jesus as our head. And I think sometimes we can get it wrong where we're using our head to direct us and we're not the body that's following his head and his direction. Sometimes there can be a disalignment. We can be unaligned. As the body, we can get used to following our own head and be like a senseless horse that needs a bit and bridle to then steer it and control it in the way that God is taking us, the way that the head of our body wants to take us. There's tension with this, I found, and I've briefly spoken about the time in my life where I was working in another job in child protection and it was sort of mid through 2023 that God really very clearly spoke to me and said, I want you to leave your job and not apply for anything. And so I ended up eventually doing that about 6 months later. But I wasn't aligned. You know, if I sit down with you and have a coffee, I would very really tell you that there was a disalignment because my heart knew it to be true that God's voice was saying, this is what you need to do. My head was wanting to go in the other direction. There was a disalignment because I was starting to overthink everything. Well, how am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do? Why would I leave a high-paying job to do nothing? This doesn't make sense. And eventually I quit my job. And obviously eventually had a conversation with Pastor Rob and started working for the church. And just when I think the bit and bridle's off and I'm good, Pastor Rob talks to me about my role in the church. And I just want to say this in this moment. God can very clearly speak through our pastors and leaders. Very, very clearly. I really, really want to emphasize that. God was very clearly speaking through Pastor Rob in this time in my life. And we had a conversation and he said, you know, I'd really like for you to take over youth. And in that moment, I desperately wanted to say, I'll pray about it, which is what we usually say when we don't want to do what the person's asking. My version of that was, can we give it a turn? But that wasn't because I didn't love youth. My heart is for the youth. I look back and I see God was preparing me over the years. I love youth. I know that's where God's called me. But my head was full of, who are you to take over youth? Are you really capable of that? Is God really saying this? Are you just someone that's just walked in and then they'll just say, oh yeah, she can take it over? I was starting to question. There was a disalignment. And we had a regional meeting in the first term of the year and I was like, all right, God, I'm all in for you. If Pastor Rob's asked me to do this, I'm going to do it. Head and heart, kind of unaligned. And Pastor Ben Naitoko came for a regional meeting and he came up to me and he said, hey mate, I've got a word for you. I'm like, yeah, great. Let me just invite you into the mind of a single in their 30s. Also women in their mid-20s and late 20s are like this. Sometimes we're secretly like, ooh, is it going to be about marriage or is it going to be about wisdom and serving the Lord? It's real. We pretend it's not, but it's real. And anyway, so yeah, he said, I've got a word for you, mate. And so I said, yeah, sure. And so he started praying for me and I was just closing my eyes and he's like, hey, I see two hands. And I'm like, one eye opens. I'm like, okay. Two hands, ooh, is it going to be my hand and my husband's hand? Like, one eye opens, you're like, ooh. And then he's like, they're both your hands. I'm like, it's real, it's real. We don't need to joke about this. We need to, like, deny it, it's real. And He said, hey, I see youth in one hand and young adults in the other. And I'm like, okay, husband aside, this is the word I need, like perspective people. And he said, yeah, and I just feel the Lord would say to you that you are the person that he has called for this. And God wants you to know that you're not the second best choice. You're the person for now. And I walked away and I was like, great. Head, heart aligned. Sometimes we have to walk out obedience, sometimes with a heart and a head not aligned. But on the other side of obedience, God knows, it says in that psalm that he knows where he's leading us. He has the best pathway for your life. It says that I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Love that. That's a promise that we can hold on to. And willing obedience is not the absence of pressure or tension. Easy obedience, we don't grow from that. We don't grow from stepping out and being called out of our comfort zone. We grow from the tension of obeying God when we don't know what's on the other side. We know that he's speaking to us, and our head might be thinking, how am I going to do this? But that's where our head needs to become aligned to who God says he is. A clear takeaway from verse 9, like I said, is that God would say, don't be a horse or a mule. And so poses the question, what should we be like? Earlier in the psalm, in Psalm 23, he refers to himself as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So my first point is, we are called to be a sheep, not a horse or mule. We are called to be sheep. I just love that God reveals himself as a shepherd to us, meaning we're not called to be rebellious and in control of our lives. We're called to be a follower of where he's taking us. You know, when Jesus is calling the disciples and he says, come and lead for me. He's saying to them, come and lead for me. Oh, hang on a minute. He's saying, come and follow me. He's not saying, come and lead for me. He's saying, come and follow. Come and follow me. And I was listening to the Handlebar podcast with Aaron Smith and Sarah Beth Smith, who are coming for Extreme Conference next month, which is so exciting. And Aaron was saying that recently God was speaking to him about the body of Christ, and he said, Aaron, I've got too many of something I never asked for, too much of something I've never asked for. And Aaron said, what's that, God? And God said, I've got too many leaders and not enough followers. And so this, called to be a sheep, that helps us get that perspective of, yes, there's leadership. There's leadership in our church, and there's leadership in our lives, but we're not called to be the shepherd. He is the shepherd. We're called to be mini shepherds if we're leaders. Ultimately, if we're in leadership, if you're in leadership, you're a mini shepherd of him being the great shepherd about where he wants to take you. And something about sheep is that they remain with their shepherd through a couple of things. The shepherd's voice. I was looking at this, and it actually says that they're so highly attuned to their shepherd's voice that they are able to distinguish when a stranger's talking to them rather than the shepherd. And instantly they know and they get wary about a stranger's voice trying to lead them rather than the shepherd. Just love that. Trust is a big thing for sheep. Over time, they learn to trust their shepherd. They've built trust because they've followed their shepherd. They see that their shepherd sleeps with them, feeds them, cares for them, any of the ones that stray. Or if there's a possibility of a sheep straying, they'll break the legs and carry the sheep so it doesn't stray from where the shepherd is taking them. The flock. They have something called herd mentality and flock behavior. Flocking is what they call it. And so they are prey animals that actually feel incredibly unsafe if they're not in the flock. And so they recognize that if they're isolated from the flock, they're vulnerable to attack from predators, from the enemy. And so they'll often go wherever the flock's going. Even if the flock leads them into danger, they'll still stay together. They recognize the importance of being together, being in community, and they actually form a sense of connectedness with each other. They start to mimic each other's behavior as sheep. So interesting. But the fact that they stay together and there's a risk of them following each other into danger is why they need a shepherd. They can't lead each other, they need a shepherd to direct them. I just love that. I feel like we're called to be like sheep that wouldn't stray from the flock or isolate away from community, because we're vulnerable when we do that. We're called to stay with the flock, to be connected, to mimic each other as the body following the head. My second point is obedience often requires action. Rarely have I found that obedience will require no action. When God has told me to do something is often a step that I have to take in obedience. Often we don't know what's on the other step of what God's saying. And we see this with Moses in Exodus 3. I don't have the slide for that, but if you want to turn to Exodus 3, I'll briefly mention it, but it's when Moses was actually tending to his father's flock of sheep. That's the key takeaway there. And God starts to call. The angel of the Lord, God, speaks to him and says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am, here I am." Great response. And God starts to talk to him about what's going to happen. And he says, "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." And God then explains to Moses that he sees the Israelites, he sees his people, and he wants Moses to then go out and rescue them out of slavery to face Pharaoh. And Moses' immediate reaction, even though he says, "Here I am," he starts to protest and start to turn back and say, like, "But what about me? Like, I'm slack to speak. Really me? Like, God, send someone else." So his heart knows that what's God saying, but his head starts to go, "Hang on a minute, can I really do this?" Because he's focusing inward, not outward. He's focusing on himself, not what God can do through him. And they go back and forth, and then eventually Moses says, "Yeah, Lord, I'm not good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." And God says, "Go, and my presence will be with you." We see this with Jonah. Mentioned Jonah earlier. God gives a message to Jonah and says, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are." Verse 3 in Jonah 1 verse 3 says, "Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord." That's so funny I'm going to go in the opposite direction of what God said. Both Moses and Jonah were reluctant to immediately follow what God was saying, his instruction. I believe it's because of that doubt that they've said, "I'm scared." Whereas there's the invitation for us to actually listen to God saying, "My presence will go with you. You're not alone." We're called to be like sheep, not horses and mules. Horses and mules follow their own direction, their own voice. Sheep follow their shepherd and stay with the flock. Throughout the Bible, we see that Abraham was an obedient man of God. He was obedient to God. He was obedient to God wherever he said, whatever he said. Genesis 12, 1-4 says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him." Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Not knowing where he was going. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he listened to his shepherd's voice, where he was leading him. He trusted who God was, who he said he was. As we step out when he calls us, as a body, I feel that there's an invitation for us. Yes, there's going to be tension as God calls us into new things, as he asks us to follow him and obey him. But I feel that there's an invitation for our head and our heart to be aligned, that we focus on who he is and not on ourselves. Would he lead us somewhere he doesn't know where we're going? Absolutely not, because he works from eternity backwards. He works from eternity backwards. I'll just invite the worship team to come up. We must zealously guard our heart and our mind from the thoughts, my time and my life is my own. Zealously guard our heart and mind from the thoughts of my heart, my time and my life is my own. Because as we start to become more like followers of him, we actually realize that we lose the ability to dictate where we're going. We can start to realize my life is not my own. My thoughts, yes, I can have my thoughts, but my life and my time is not my own if we fully surrender to the Lord. If we fully surrender, we can hold on to verse 8 of this psalm. If we can pop that back up, it says, the Lord promises us, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And verse 10, many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. Unfailing love, the best pathway. We can trust that God knows the best pathway for our life. When we're unsure, and maybe this morning there's some of us that have felt an urge or a nudge from the Lord for something new. Maybe it's to step out in an additional or new area of serving. Maybe it's to start a business one day. Maybe it's, God, I just really feel like there's something new that you're doing. It's like you get that feeling. There's something, there's a greater invitation. Maybe it's to write a book. Maybe there's just something, you know what it is that God's been speaking to you about. You know that there's more. Right now, you can't see it. Right now, sometimes we get in that, who am I? Can I really do this? I'm not worthy, I'm not capable. Like me, when Pastor Rob asked me about youth, I'm in my 30s, I'm not in my 20s. I'm not cool. How am I gonna do this? It's not about me. It's not about me, it's about God. We're his hands and his feet, we're his sheep. He's the shepherd. That's the best thing. This morning, I want to invite you all to stand with me. Sometimes disobedience can be little things to the Lord. Sometimes it can be choosing to walk a certain way when we know that God has called us to walk another. Sometimes it can be being one foot in and one foot out. Sometimes it can be reading his word, not actually following what he's saying or what he's calling us to. Sometimes it's unforgiveness, anything that separates us from God that we choose to walk away from. Because like Bree shared in communion, can anything separate us from God's love? Absolutely not. And I sense this morning a couple of things from our great shepherd who loves us and cares for us and wants to lead us in the best way, on the best path. I sense two things. That number one, there may be some people here this morning that have really questioned if they know the shepherd's voice. There's been times in your life where you've thought, I don't know if this is you, God, speaking. I don't know if this is what you're telling me to do. And I actually sense that the enemy has been in minds and ears to bring doubt, to bring discouragement, to almost gaslight us into thinking, would God really speak to me? Do I actually know my shepherd's voice? John 10 very clearly says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. That's a lie from the enemy that we're not hearing from him. Yes, sometimes it takes time, like the sheep, to learn what the shepherd is saying, to trust that. The lie is that he's not talking. The truth is that he's always talking to his sheep, and we hear him and we can trust in that. And the second thing is I really sense that there's a great invitation, and I hope I've articulated it well. If not, I pray that the Lord would speak to you in this moment. I sense that there's an invitation for the ones that really feel that urge to yield and surrender absolutely everything to the Father, to the shepherd. You know, the ones that have been feeling, my life is not my own, my time is not my own, God. Oh, I just feel like there's a greater surrender, there's a greater yield, there's an invitation. I want to be the body that follows the head, not the senseless horse that is working against what God's saying for our body and for my life as an individual. So with every eye closed in this place, every eye closed, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are here, God. Your presence is here. If you are, with every eye closed, in the first group of what I said, the ones that have doubted and felt unsure about if you hear God's voice, or maybe you felt in a season where you're like, I don't even think God's speaking to me. And it's been difficult. There's been turmoil. I sense that. I invite you, with every eye closed, just to put your hand on your head, because I really feel that the Lord wants to move in this place over the ones. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those that have put their hands on their heads, God. Lord, I thank you that John 10 says, my sheep know my voice. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. I break the lies of the enemy off any single person in this room that has struggled with hearing your voice, God. I thank you that you speak clearly. You love them. You are here for them. You care for them. You feed them. You guide them. And I thank you, Lord, that even now doubt would lift, fear would lift, anxious thoughts would lift, Lord. Peace would come from you. Holy Spirit, would you just minister right now? I break doubt. I break fear off minds in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you that you're ministering right now, God. Thank you that you're ministering right now. And for the second group, with every eye closed, I encourage you, if you feel that greater surrender, I'd encourage you to put your hand over your heart as a sign of, hey, God, I want to give you all of my heart, all of my body. My time and my life is not my own, and I surrender it to you. I get that invitation. Maybe your heart's pounding. Maybe you're feeling a physical feeling of God's presence. Lord, I thank you for the ones that want a greater surrender, a greater yielding of obedience to you, God. Father, would you stir up your body to be able to be laid down, surrendered body of you, God. Oh, Lord, would you awaken in their hearts and their minds what you are calling them to? What we talked about earlier, business ideas, books, serving in different areas. God, I thank you, Lord, that they know your voice. And would you speak so clearly in the pathway that you're guiding them on, God? Thank you for that deeper surrender. And Lord, we as your body want to yield to where you are taking us, God. We recognize even in leadership that we are your mini shepherds. We want to follow the great shepherd that is you, Lord. That is you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place, Lord. Your presence falling down, Holy Spirit, that you are ministering. Thank you, God. We're going to sing a song, and as the worship team sings, I just invite you to seal it today. The altar's open. I'd love to pray for you. We've got Pastor Rob, we've got our ministry team. And so as they start to sing this song, I invite you, if you want to seal it, if you want prayer for your mind to hear God's voice, we'll be here to pray for you. If you want to step out and say, hey, I want full surrender, I really feel that Holy Spirit wants to minister in this place. It's not about us, it's about what He wants to do. Thanks, worship team.